Good day to you. You are listening to Inspirato Projecto Podcast. I am your host, CEC. We are, of course, found on iTunes, so please feel free to subscribe to us on there. We're also on many, 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 many other podcast apps, directories, resources, etc., etc., etc. My buddy John Garside, who does the Forgotten Tales podcast, and I were talking. Check out Forgotten Tales. He's got a lot of great videos out there, too, on YouTube. He's the Indiana Jones of Whittier. And soon, wherever he goes, he is that Indiana Jones. Always finding out the history, always presenting the information. He told me all about War of the Worlds by Jeff Wayne. It's a musical version of War of the Worlds. Oh my God. Oh man. I listened to it. Oh my God. I listened to it yesterday and oh my God. It is just so good. The theremin, the psychedelic sounds. I mean, this thing just kept mystifying me with. It's crazy because as I was listening to it, I was sitting there thinking, have I heard this before? Have I? There are elements to it that sound familiar to me. And just so good. It sounded so familiar. It had one of those sounds like when you listen to it, you're going, oh my gosh, this is so familiar. Perhaps a lot of bands have since borrowed. Let's see. Let's go here. I'm going to do a little. Okay, so War of the Worlds. Jeff Wayne. I'm looking up the Wikipedia because guess what? Everybody knows Wikipedia is the primary source. Oh my God, 1978? Oh my God. Released in the UK, June 1978. Yeah, progressive rock, no kidding. Its main format is progressive rock and string orchestra. Using narration and late motifs to carry the story in rhythmic melodic lyrics that express the feelings of the various characters. Yikes, oh my gosh. By 2009, it was the 40th best-selling album of all time in the UK. It has since spawned multiple versions of the album, video games, DVDs, and live tours. Oh my gosh. Incredibly. Yeah. Oh my God. It's incredibly awesome. This stuff is. Wow. This is so good. So good. So, yeah. I put my stamp of approval on War of the Worlds. War of the Worlds. And while you're at it, research Battle of Los Angeles. Research it. Battle of Los Angeles. It was in the newspapers. We are field testing a different mic today. The first mic you just heard, actually, is the microphone I normally use. This microphone is a microphone that I've recorded guitars on a couple of occasions. However, I have not gone out into the world with this microphone yet because of this. My phone has the Mophie. It's called the Mophie. And the Mophie has a battery pack on it. It's a case for the phone in case I drop it, which I've done on many occasions. Drop the phone on many occasions. And I got that case on there because, well, number one, obviously for the dropping aspect. Also, number two, that what's cool is that it's got the, you know, it's got the battery pack in there. So if it gets low, I press a little switch on the case, and then it I press a little switch on the case, and then it ends up recharging it. So, yes. Now, the thing that I dig about the other microphone is that it has sort of a long input thing. So, with this case, for instance, with this case, I need a special plug charger for it in order for it to really be able to plug into this case. And so the case is set about a half an inch away, so to speak, from the input of this thing. So I need special... Anyway, the microphone, the length of the input thing is good. It's long enough, it clicks in there. With this, right now, for instance, I'm talking to you, I had to take off the bottom part of my Mophie. So that's the only reason why I haven't used this out there in the world. I figure it's pretty safe for this excursion. Because I'm walking up to this store. So, for this excursion, I can trust myself to keep my mitts on it. And whatnot. So I'm curious to see how this will play back. The other microphone does a great job of getting sounds and keeping everything like a good volumes. I was listening to some old recordings that I had recorded, some voicemails that I had recorded on my phone, but this before I ended up getting this microphone, you know, a while ago, these songs. And it's interesting because when I had first heard them, they sounded really good. They came through. But now, I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I'm hearing such a vast difference in when I'm utilizing a microphone versus back then when I didn't have a microphone. I guess back then, I didn't have a microphone, so I didn't have a frame of reference as to the crispiness, as to what the sound could sound like. So that's what I'm thinking. And now that I've seen what it's like to record with a microphone, now I see what the big difference is. Hear the big difference. And I'm curious if this microphone... What I like about the other microphone is that you can hear the treble. You can hear the bass. It's nice. It's like, I don't know how it knows how to do this, but it just somehow magically kind of equalizes it in a good way. This microphone, I'm curious. I recorded guitar with it before. This microphone was a little more expensive. I think the other microphone was $20, the one that I usually use. This one was, I think, like $30 maybe. We shall see. We shall see. The main point was that I wanted to be able to hook a microphone that caught crispy audio for when I shoot scenes for the Pagani film. I wanted that. Something else that I've got to start using is I got one of those lens packages, if you could call it that, a bundle from the interwebs, and it has you clip it on. There are different clips that you clip onto the microphone or onto the smartphone itself, and there are these clips there were lenses that, like, one of them is wide angle, one of them is fisheye, just these different ones. There's one that's when you unscrew the wide angle one, it then becomes a macro lens, in which case you can actually see deeper into text. And you could see into... You could see into, I mean, much closer stuff, fingerprints and such. The other cool thing that it comes with, which I've yet to test, is a... It's a Bluetooth little remote control button. So you can actually film... I need to test the distance, how far of a distance away you can be, in order for it to work. But you can actually test the distance. Do the distance. Hit the button, press record, and then it starts recording or taking photos of you far away. I bet the photographer Cindy Sherman would have really appreciated that back when she was taking her photos. A remote control. I bet you at some point in life she ended up getting something like that to help her out. Look up Cindy Sherman sometime, and while you're at it, look up Sally Mann. Look those up. There was a great exhibit when I was going to Columbia College. They had all these different photographers, art gallery. And that's where I first heard about Cindy Sherman. And it's like, whoa, I was just hooked on this kind of, these photo styles. It really just blew my mind. Oh, by the way, there's a guy here. One of the kids who works here, he looks very familiar, and something tells me that he is someone that I've substitute taught for before. I haven't said anything to him yet, and he hasn't said anything to me. You know, why is that? Wasn't that interesting, those moments where it's like you have a feeling that that person might be that person, or that, or you got a vibe that they might think that you're that person, and... But you don't say anything to him? What is that? Is there just maybe deep down, like what's immediately popping in my brain is that there's this silent victory of just... Either A, maybe we really like the mystery of it, and going, that could have been, I don't know, that could have been. Or we like the idea of wanting to figure out ourselves without the answer, you know, coming right out. I think that's why people hint at things. They hint... They want you to read the mind, so they leave little hints. Boop, 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 boop. Then you follow the hints, like breadcrumb trail, and there you go. Before you know it. So Tom Wolfe is dead. Tom Wolfe is gone. I'm looking at the cover here. He's gone. Tom Wolfe, if you get a chance, read Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test. Oh my goodness. If you're someone who appreciates just that ethic, just that artist ethic, living as an artist, creating, being out there, making waves in the world, altering human consciousness and reality as we know it. If you like that kind of stuff, my goodness, Ken Kesey had a lot to do with that. And that's what the Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test is all about. Ken Kesey and the Merry Pranksters riding on their Dayglo bus called Further. And Tom Wolfe wrote about all this. Tom Wolfe wrote about all that. He's written lots of other stuff. That's the only book I've ever read. I think he did Bonfire of the Vanities, if I'm not mistaken. I think he did Bonfire of the Vanities. Oh, yes. So, I'm here. I'm supposed to get something. And I'm really trying to remember what it is, bread. Okay, bread. It's always good to get the bread. Someone's going to get the brand. And someone's going to get the brand. For those of you who don't know who Ken Kesey is, by the way, and I really need to, I'm realizing now as I'm saying this out loud, I think I need to take him up on this offer. Ken Kesey's son, Zane, I believe. Ken Kesey's son, Zane, put up a couple of months ago a call for writers to help him write a biography about his dad. And I don't know why. Why didn't I jump on that? He probably has writers at this point. However, that doesn't mean that he would limit someone else writing about it, right? That doesn't mean that. If they got a writer helping him out, certainly, you know, if the son has a similar spirit to his father, I bet you he would be more than willing to open up his arms to someone who's willing to contribute to his father's legacy, someone who's inspired. So surprised. I mean, there are bazillions of professional writers out there. It's quite interesting to think that the son of this inspiring author put out the call on Facebook. It's such an interesting thing when you think about it. Very interesting thing. Huh. Wow. I'm here getting coffee, and this one here, caramel truffle? Are you kidding me? Oh boy, I'm gonna get in trouble here. Should I get this? I think I'm gonna have to get this, right? Oh boy, if I get this, I'm gonna go nuts. I'm just gonna go crazy. All right, we're getting it. We're getting it. I ain't got no choice now. Might as well get it. Oh, looks like someone here is at the grocery store and wants to say something.
Hello, everyone out there. This is Johnny Depp, and I think that if you look on Amazon, even in the video stores, you're going to find my movies that I've done through the years. I've done movies about pirates, and of course I've played all kinds of different characters through the years. I've worked extensively with Tim Burton. If you remember, he first cast me as the role of Edward Scissorhands, a kind of a funny man who he's got these claws, you know, they're like they're scissors, and he walks around, and he has the scissors, I believe. A wonderful role.
Oh, thank you, Johnny Depp, for stopping by. That was so cool. Never, you know, you never know who you're going to come across at the grocery store, right? You just never know. Never, ever, ever going to know. At any time, who you're going to come across at any time. You just never, ever, 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 you ever know. You never know. Never know. So I'm here. Okay, we've got to get main things. Bread. Check. Coffee. Check. Oh, quarters. That was one of the other things. Quarters. I need to get some laundry done today. I realized if there's one thing in the world that I need to get done. Well, that and also the Operation Tone Up video. I gotta get that done. I gotta get the Operation Tone Up video done. I also have got to put out more tweets on the Black Pumpkin Twitter account, and I've also got to promote Kapow more often, that's for sure. I've got to promote more Kapow. That's important. What else? What else?
The world wants to know. The world wants to know. The world wants to know. Hello there. My name is Orson Welles, and the world wants to know what else we need to get here at the store. No one really knows. No one is really certain. It's all up in the air from here, you see. It's all up in the air from this moment forward. Oh, great. And what do I see? A rock star. Yes, of course. It's a rock star on sale. And of course, I've got to make sure that I buy one, because who would I be if I didn't purchase a rock star that was on sale? Who would I be? Here we go. In this day and age, with all this technology that we truly have at our fingertips, I mean, right now this technology is on my fingertips. I'm holding on to it with my fingertips. Well, let's hear some of this. So right now, in this day and age, we have the possibility of creating our own radio shows, our own movies, our own record labels, right? You can make an entire album on your GarageBand. Entire album on GarageBand. People do it all the time. Music on GarageBand. All these distribution services. Putting it right in the hands of people. They don't have to wait for some huge corporation to put their stamp of approval on what they're doing. It's astounding. It's incredible. Blows my mind. Oh, here we go. Hold on, I gotta pay for this.
So. No, hello.
Hello. Oh, and also, if I may have $10 in quarters too, please, if that's possible.
Do you need a bag?
Oh, yes, please.
Paper or plastic?
Plastic sounds good, thank you.
Okay.
There we go.
The guy with the card. I think he's shaking my butt out. It just like bounced off though.
He hit you with it?
Oh, I just need $10 in quarters.
Did I get that?
Thank you. Huh?
You got him, right?
No, you didn't give him to me yet.
No, but you got him on the cashback, right?
Did he? Let's see, where does that show? I'm not sure.
Oh, you didn't ask for $10.
What?
Yeah, that's why.
No way. I typed it in there. Oh, that's weird. Okay, well, how can I do that? How can I?
Who do you bank with?
Wells Fargo.
Oh, let's try. Go ahead.
Okay. I totally thought I'd... Yeah, it gave me the options, and then I put $10.
Yeah, I do the same sometimes.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm sure I did it, and I didn't.
That's so crazy.
There we go.
Cool, it went through. Oh, that's great. All right, thank you so much. All right, so here we are. We have got what we came here for. Laundry time, ladies and gentlemen. Laundry time. As a wise man once said, never underestimate a good laundry. That wise man was Mr. Dishwasher. Oh, wait a second. If you think about it, a dishwasher is like a washing machine, but for dishes. So I'm wondering if the inventor of the washing machine had something to do with that. Maybe it was a relative or a friend of the inventor of the dishwasher, or of the laundry machine. They looked at that and they go, hey, we could do that for our dishes. Wouldn't that be nifty? I don't want to scrub these damn dishes. I don't want to scrub these damn dishes. Do you, Martha? Do you? I don't want to scrub these damn things. Do you? So before you know it, load up the dishes into the dishwasher, and there you go. There you go. It's a washing machine, but for dishes. There you go. Simple. Oh my goodness, it's been 23 minutes already. Today's barely begun. So this is what's happening right now. I've downloaded all of the Operation Tune-Up videos. The National Fittest School Challenge 2018. I've downloaded all of the photos that Lawrence took. I downloaded all of the videos that Lawrence took. I'm missing three large files, or four rather, of particular angles. However, the good news is I think I'm going to pull off what I need to do with what I got. Yes, last night I went through and I edited down, first of all, I grouped all the clips into their timeline, into the order of which they were created. So I put all the clips together, not the photos, but all the clips, put them right next to each other. The kids entering the place, the establishing shots, it just goes on and on. The kids stretching, them doing the workout, drinking their water, stretching again, then doing their nutrition test, the tie, and then the push-up contest, and then the announcement of the winner, and then the kids getting the awards, all the speeches, the friendship bracelets that the one school made for the other school. Moon Mountain made bracelets for Clemenson. And what else? Oh yeah, afterwards when they go to, I think it's called Good Eat? Good Place? Something like that. It's a little restaurant nearby. So there's some photos of that. So I put all those I stacked them all together in the way that they need to. Then I went through them and I cut them down, little bits and pieces here and there. Just cut the length of them. So I just got the snippets of what I need. all that, at some point, it originally was like 44 minutes, and then I whittled it down to 20 minutes. Ultimately, I think Mr. Tone himself, I think ultimately he wants this thing to be, oh, I also color corrected it. I don't have any color correction expertise, but that's what those YouTube videos are for. That's what's beautiful. YouTube education is phenomenal. There's always someone on there who's excited about showing off their expertise. That's the beauty of it. It's the beauty of it. Purest form of cooperation ever. In fact, I can imagine a teacher, a professor, who doesn't actually teach anything himself. All he does is he shows YouTube videos all throughout class. People got questions. Oh, good question. Here's a YouTube video. And then that describes it. But anything you need, you look on there, there it is. So I learned a little bit about color correction, which was great, because a lot of the shots from the camera that I was taking were overexposed. They're blown out, so I was able to darken them up a little bit with color correction and bring a little more color into them, into those white spaces. As you can tell, people love racing up and down the street. So yeah, I color corrected it, and then, so all that together, I outputted all that. That took 2.5 hours last night to output that file, and now today, I output that whole file as like one big thing. So now, I'm going to cut in the order in which that goes, and then put the photos in there too. So we're gonna have all the great photos that Lawrence took in there. He's got some great depth of field, very cinematic. He did a lot of great camera work with his iPhone 6, a lot of which looks just as crispy as the Mark V that I was shooting on. Holy moly, those cameras, Mark V, woo! And I think he had a Mark III. Those cameras eat up batteries like crazy. And they eat up memory like crazy. Those babies are very, very high tech, let me tell you. High tech. Here we are. Here we are. So now I know a trip to the store and back can take a half an hour. Is that interesting the way that time is, huh? Right now, this is an example of time sort of being relative. I went through a whole journey, and wherever you're sitting or standing or driving right now listening to this, you are doing something completely different. And to you, maybe it feels like drudgery. Things are moving by so slow, so slow. I'm at work. I got my headphones on. I'm listening to the podcast. Oh, work is going by so slow. Yet what's interesting is, if you were just listening to this, you will... It's crazy because I walked up to the grocery store. I went on a trip. I had a journey. This whole podcast business just blows my mind. I'm over here doing this particular thing. You're over there doing whatever you're doing. And the funny thing is, I'm living in this moment in real time. It's unfolding for me right here in real time. It's unfolding for me right here in real time. When you hear this, this is going to be a time capsule for you. When you hear this, this moment has already happened. And furthermore, it happened while you were just doing something completely different or completely the same. Wouldn't that be crazy? Is if you pop this in and you are actually walking up to the store searching for the same items I am? Or you just got back from the store with the same items I just got. All I know is I'm going to cook up some coffee here. But while we're talking about this subject, I just want to bring this up really quick before I say goodbye. I think this is going to be today's podcast, unless I throw in a riff. When I edit the wedding videos, and I don't know if I've said this before or not. Oh, that's right. I forgot. I got a rock star. Oh, that's cool. Here we go. Here we go. 160 milligrams of caffeine. 160. I prefer the 200 range. But this is delicious. Mm. So, I got to wrap it up with this. While wedding video editing, a few big revelations struck me. One, these people don't know I exist. The people who are on screen have no idea I exist. That's one part of it. I'm editing the life of these people who have never met me before and they don't know I exist. Two, not only do I not exist to them, I simultaneously also exist as sort of an invisible entity. Those people, their video was shot, who knows, maybe a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, who knows. I'm editing it now. They already lived that moment. I'm editing it now, or whenever I choose to edit it. Those people who are in that video are living a linear life. They're living a linear unfolding of time. And they're experiencing it one frame at a time, one frame at a time. I am experiencing their life in addition to a completely different day that it happened. I'm experiencing their life in, not in real time, but in fragments of their day. So I can zoom to the end of their day, to the reception, a moment in time that they didn't even yet know existed. And yet there it is. The people in the beginning of the video have no idea what's happening at the end of the video. And yet here I have it all right there in front of me. I have the luxury as a multidimensional being, because in this case, this is what it really started making me think about, was the idea of multidimensionalities, parallel universes, other beings existing in other levels of existence that we just don't have the tools yet to measure. It's like as if someone within, and I felt this on a few occasions, I'll be editing a video. Like this one time I was editing a video, and I swear one of the bridesmaids actually saw me. That's a funny thing. She looked right at the camera, and it looked like she looked right at me. And I'm like, oh boy, I see you right now. Do you see me? Do you have that vision of me looking at you right now? Because how crazy would that be? As if during that moment, in that moment that she happens to look at the camera, bam, she gets an image of me looking at her. Just crazy. And in these people's lives, I can fast forward their motions. I can rewind their motions. I can take 1 second and go, yip, yip, rip, yip, yip, rip, yip, yip, rip, yip, yip, and have them move backward and forward like a GIF. Yip, rip, yip, yip, rip, yip. Those people have no idea I exist. And the way that they will remember that day, because yes, they will remember certain aspects of it, unless there was like a Mary Lou Henner, where she remembers everything. Now, unless you got a whole group of wedding attendees who all have the Mary Lou Henner mindset, unless you got a bunch of those, chances are some of them will remember certain aspects of it, and some of them will not remember other aspects of it. So what's so funny is this, you know, these videos that I'm editing is sort of the final
The final countdown. It's the final punctuation mark. What I'm doing is the final punctuation mark on how they're going to remember their day. I'm editing it together. I'm the one who's choosing which shots are going to be focused on and are going to be utilized. I mean, I see a lot of funny stuff said to the camera. We got a little section when we edit. We got the sections that we move information into. So let's say we got establishing shots. Okay, that's that its own section. Then we got the close-ups of the dress, the rings, the husband's suit, all those things. You know, we put in their own little sections. The picture time with the bridesmaids and brides grooms, what do you call them? Wedding party. All those go in their own thing. Ceremony gets edited. So the point is, I'm picking out these little pieces, and I'll see people say funny stuff. So luckily, we have an area for outtakes. So I'll put all the funny stuff that I see in there. Now, back to this idea. So imagine if those people within the wedding video actually had an instrument to be able to, some tool to be able to tune in and then communicate with me. Interesting. You know, before, this is interesting. I had this idea for a movie. This is a while ago. This is before I moved out here. I had the idea about a movie that didn't have a title. And or it was missing a letter. And the whole movie was the people within the movie waking up and realizing that they were in a movie and then trying to figure out the title of that movie. They were very aware of the fact that they were within a movie. I find this astonishing with the Deadpool stuff that's going on. I also find it astonishing. I had this idea that me and Jeremy and the Wisniewski brothers, Trisha Howard, Sanghini, a bunch of us, the Insomniacs, we decided to make a superhero film. And we had great superheroes in there. The whole premise of it was that the superheroes were completely aware of the fact that their parts were being rewritten by the writers. They realized that their lives were kind of set up by the writers. And kind of as if they're actors, and yet still being the very parts that they were casted as, so to speak. So, like, these guys started just waking up to what was going on. And, like, let's say, for instance, you might have a couple of superheroes that they come across that are in black, white, and gray. And maybe those were superheroes from long ago, from back when, you know, the comics that were put in the old newspapers where everything was just black and white. But the thing is that the people in the comic are realizing that there are some changes. So there's kind of like a Flash kind of guy. I mean, this was written more than 20 years ago, for sure. 25 years ago, I'd say. And there's a guy, and I think we called him Speedy. And so Speedy was kind of like the Flash. And what happened was he was either retiring or he died. And then the new guy named Fasty, he comes in and he has to take over Speedy's suit. And he's bothered that he doesn't have his own suit. And, you know, he's like, oh, man. He's like, I wish I had a new suit. You know, and then the other guy's like, well, you know how the writers are. They just, you know, sometimes they're lazy. And then there's a guy named Lance who's a total ladies' man. He just loves the ladies. He flies around. He's like Superman. He's a macho dude. And all of a sudden, he ends up learning that the writers are going to turn him gay within, you know, a few upcoming issues. So now, he's trying to have as much sex as he can with the butterfly. The butterfly is another, it's like a Batman and Wonder Woman kind of relationship, or Superman and Wonder Woman. So he just wants to have as much sex as he can with her before the before things get turned over, before they change him. We have a guy in there named Subwoofer. That was could be played by my buddy Paul Sutton. He's a big guy. Paul Sutton is a big guy. I'd also like to cast him as El Borba, the day that I do the Charles Burns movie about El Borba. That's a dream of mine. The luchador detective, El Borba. So Paul was going to play Subwoofer, which was like this big guy, and he walks around. He's got these big speakers on him. And he and a guy named Drummer Boy are like a super team, so to speak. Well, Drummer Boy is at home with his drum set. And Subwoofer, see, Drummer Boy, so Subwoofer and Drummer Boy are like connected by the earbuds or whatever. And whenever they need really loud sounds, he calls and he's like, Drummer Boy, and all of a sudden Drummer Boy like crazy drum solos, and everyone on the team has to put their earplugs in because they know it's going to happen. And so those subwoofers just amplify the loudness. Gosh, we had so much stuff. So much stuff. So yeah, I think I'm going to wrap up this podcast. Just remember that even if you cannot see the other multidimensional beings that are watching you, they're there. They're there. You'll say no right now because you don't have the technology to measure it, but they're there. Look up the Santilli telescope sometime. Santilli telescope. The lens on it, instead of it being convex, it's concave. It's the opposite of whatever lenses normally are. But it sees what researchers are calling ET eyes, which is basically ETs, but it seems like they have no bodies. They're just these. You'll see. Look up the Santilli telescope and realize that you are probably being watched by who knows who. Who knows who's watching you. But they all want you to be the best version of yourself. All right, everybody. You take care and keep the inspirato flowing.